let me introduce myself. I'm Joe Grizzly, bitch.
What up, Mean Militia, and welcome to the Mean Joe Grizzly Podcast. I'm your host, Mean Joe Grizzly, and on today's show, we are going to be discussing the highly anticipated return of Stranger Things. And with just 4 days standing between us and the return to Hawkins, Indiana, I wanted to talk about what happened in Season 3, some of the theories I have for Season 4, and of course, the new big bad, Vecna. So, let's do what we always do in this situation, and it's time to open up the Grizzly Guide. Now, I'm not going to do a full recap of Season 3 or the other seasons. I figured if you've clicked on this episode, then you've already seen those seasons. So, I'm just going to like give a couple of highlights of what happened at the end of Season 3. And there's a few things to take away from that season. One, the death of Billy. And Billy dies fighting mind control by the Mind Flayer in the Battle of Starcourt Mall. And in a moment of clarity, when Eleven is about to die at the hands of the Mind Flayer, Billy breaks free and starts fighting the Mind Flayer's control, and this leads to his death. And that's one of the themes of this next season is Max dealing with the death of her stepbrother Billy. A few other things to take away is the death of Jim Hopper, or the supposed death of Jim Hopper. Everyone in the group thinks that Hopper is dead. And as we know, at the end of Season 3, as well as the trailers and everything that has came out since then, that Hopper is very much alive and he is being held in Russia by the Soviets. Somehow, Hopper was transported to Russia, whether it be via the portal through the Upside Down, or he was captured and taken away. Either way, Hopper is alive, but not doing too well. He's a prisoner in Soviet Russia. It appears to be a very desolate part of Russia, maybe dead and smack dab in the middle of Siberia somewhere. So Hopper is alive, but he's supposedly dead to everyone else. The other thing is Eleven doesn't have her powers anymore. And it's kind of confirmed that she still doesn't have her powers months later when we see in the trailer. Because supposedly this is supposed to take place 6 months later. And there's a scene in the trailer where she's speaking with the doctor. I can't remember the doctor's name, but he's the doctor that took over for Brenner at the Hawkins lab, who's kind of an unsung ally to the group. And he tells her, we can't win this war without you. And she says, but I don't have my powers. So she still doesn't have her powers. And the fourth thing to take away is the group is completely separated now, with the buyers packing up and taking Eleven with them and moving to California. Jim Hopper being held prisoner in Russia, and the rest of the group still staying in Hawkins. So those are really the things that you need to know about what took place in season three. So not really knowing like what truly is going to happen in season four, everything we're going to be talking about is obviously going to be speculation. So supposedly in the interview with the Duffer brothers on IGN, they talked about how Max was going to be like one of the center points of the story, her and Hopper. And that's going to be really interesting, seeing how she's going to be put in the spotlight and how she's dealing with the aftermath of Billy's death, and really how she's going to be coming into her own as a character and a member of the group. Also, what seems to be taking place is there's a rift between the remaining members of the boys, which it seems like Dustin and Mike are still kind of staying where they're at and being the, quote, nerdy kids. And it seems like Lucas is moving on and playing sports and stuff and kind of drifting apart. So according to the Duffers, it's going to be dealing with that old childhood rite of passage where you grow apart from your friends and you make new friends, and sometimes you come back together and sometimes you don't. Really the way of life, honestly. And that's keeping up with that. That's keeping up with that theme from 80s movies where you have the coming of age story. And it seems like we're going to get a little bit of that in this season. Also, supposedly we're going to be getting a more fleshed out backstory for 11, and also kind of shows us, Dr. Brennan, and kind of references a lot of the other subjects that were in Hawkins' lab. And this brings me to what I did in preparation for this episode and really for my viewing of season four that's coming in a few days. I read all of the Stranger Things comics thinking that I was going to get this elaborate expansion on the mythos, and that turned out to be not quite true. And it's kind of disappointing, but there is some things here, and the writing's not bad and the stories aren't necessarily bad. They just don't really bring anything to the table, and that kind of sucks because it was kind of a golden opportunity there for Dark Horse and for Netflix to expand upon this universe. It would just give the fans more material to consume, and there's nothing worse in my book than giving somebody that outlet and not delivering what you should have delivered to them. And that's kind of how the comics are. Now, they're not bad. And there's seven stories in all. And the first one is when Will was abducted by the Demogorgon in season one and was taken to the Upside Down. The first book is his perspective in the Upside Down, him running away from the Demogorgon, him trying to communicate with his mother through the Christmas lights and stuff. That is the first story. The second story is the one that should have more relevance. And I don't know if it's canon or not, but there's kind of evidence in that first 8 minutes release that they had on YouTube that kind of suggested it's not canon. And that story is called Six. And Six is about the subject number Six, who was a young preteen or teenage girl that could predict the future, and she was in the program at Hawkins' lab. Spoiler alert, she's no longer with us. She died trying to escape the lab and helping other subjects escape, which two subjects ended up escaping. Those two subjects, which I believe were 3 and 7, come back later in the next story that I cannot remember what the name of that one is at the moment. But that one shows those two escapees trying to find one of the escapees' twin sister, who they thought died when they escaped before. I know that kind of sounds confusing, but that's the whole premise behind that story. And they eventually do find the lost sister, who I believe that she is number 8 or 9. Don't hold me to that, because the other thing to keep in mind is 11 met I believe it was 9 in Chicago. She was the girl in the street gang that was also in the same program that can make people see illusions and stuff. So they actually meet up with her in this comic, and they all kind of collaborate together for a brief moment to try and figure out where the twin is being kept. They end up finding her and liberating her and taking her with them, and that's really the end of that storyline. That storyline is never revisited again in the rest of the books that they bring out. The other books are just little short stories. Like one is about Dustin's time at science camp where he met Susie, and it's okay. It's really teeny bopperish. The other is how the group of boys actually started being friends, and D&D Dungeons and Dragons is how they all became friends. And really it was Mike, Lucas, and Will who were friends since they were kindergarten, and them discovering and playing D&D is what led them to be friends with Dustin. So that's what brought the entire group together, and that story was pretty cool, and it brings it full circle where it goes throughout all the seasons, and it brings it full circle at the end of season 3 to the point where when Will handed Lucas his Dungeons & Dragons stuff to be put in the donation box, and that of course gets handed down to Lucas's little sister. The other two stories, one is called Zombie Boys, which takes place after season 1. It's really the boys just meeting this new guy who likes to make home movies, and they make their own horror movie about zombies because Will is called Zombie Boy, and he kind of cooked up this story, and they made a little home movie about it. And it's kind of like the whole Will getting over his fears kind of thing. And then the next story is called The Bully, and it's the bully from season 1 who 11 broke his collarbone or broke his arm because he was about to cut, he was about to cut Dustin. It's his perspective of all the events that took place when he encountered 11. And that was really all that there was to that as well. So they really didn't bring anything to the table as far as expansion goes, the only ones being the two relevant to the test subjects from Hawkins Lab. And really with that, they still didn't bring anything to the table. So those were very disappointing and kind of a waste of time, to be honest with you. Now, if they become relevant later in this season, because the Duffers said in this season, we're supposed to get a definitive answer or some answer on what happened to the other subjects in the lab. So that's something that I'm looking forward to seeing. And if it turns out to be canon, then it turns out to be canon. It'd be kind of boring if it did, but we'll see what happens. I personally would like to see all those psychics come back, or all those subjects come back, and all them band together to take down the big bad. That would be really cool. Like I was saying before, with 11's backstory, supposedly in that first eight minutes that they released, it talks about when 11 was first being experimented on, and she apparently goes berserk and she kills a lot of people in the lab. And that might be what happened to most of those test subjects, but again, that is still yet to be revealed. The other interesting concept that they're bringing in is this guy named Victor Creel. And Victor Creel is supposedly this guy in Hawkins back in the 50s that just flipped out and murdered his whole family. So his abandoned house in Hawkins is like the local haunted house that everyone like kind of stays away from because all the kids made up all these legends about it. And it kind of brings in this whole concept that Hawkins has always been cursed. And this is kind of one of the examples of violent events that have taken place in Hawkins throughout its years of being around. Kind of like bringing this whole little Stephen King aspect to the whole story, where kind of like with the town of Derry in Stephen King's It, where Derry has this curse or this history of violence that is just repeating. It's just a vicious cycle that keeps repeating. And supposedly Hawkins is kind of like that as well. And it also could be the town's connection to the Upside Down that has perpetuated all this violence, and or even it could be the new big bad that is perpetuating all of this supposed cursed or violent history that Hawkins has experienced. And that new villain has been dubbed Vecna. Now, just like with most monsters and villains from the Upside Down, they're all derivative from Dungeons and Dragons lore. So I did a little research and I cracked open the D&D monster manual, and this is what I got on Vecna. Now, Vecna was born as a human centuries ago, and he initially became the master of dark arts that no mortal before him or since had ever achieved. 1,000 years after his birth, Vecna had become a lich. A lich is a creature that seeks to defy death by magical means. So Vecna, instead of dying by natural causes and accepting his death, Vecna sought undeath and essentially became a zombie sorcerer. That's the best way that I can describe it. And he essentially sought out more magical power and eventually amassed this huge empire and supposedly threatened the entire universe of Dungeons and Dragons. So he's like this real deal, like big boss level threat in Dungeons and Dragons. So it's a very fitting name given to what seemingly feels like the final boss of this series. And I have a few theories on who I think Vecna is. And my first and foremost theory is I think that it's Dr. Brennan. And if you're wondering who Dr. Brennan is, that is the doctor that Matthew Modine plays that Eleven calls Papa. And he supposedly died in season one when the Demogorgon went on a rampage and killed all the military men from the Hawkins lab. One thing that I'd never seen them take a body away. We never see a body get taken away. I did a rewatch and I confirmed that his body is never taken away. So I think that maybe he made his way to the Upside Down and eventually he became Vecna. Now, I'm not really sure how he became Vecna. It could be one of those things where Vecna already exists in the Upside Down and it just used Brennan's body as a vessel and became this totality of power within the Upside Down. I'm not really sure how that works, but I still believe that Brennan is the definitive guess as to who Vecna is. Now, the second guess that I have is it's one of the test subjects, and the Upside Down is a dimension that this particular test subject created, because this particular test subject is like the most powerful of all the test subjects, and is so powerful, in fact, that he or she is able to create a space as vast as the Upside Down. And that would be super ambitious for him to do, and probably not likely, but it would be pretty freaking cool. That would be very interesting if they actually revealed that the Upside Down was created by one of the Hawkins lab test subjects, because they were just so immensely powerful. That'd be pretty cool. And my third and final guess, which is kind of just a shot in the dark, is it's Billy. And that one's probably not likely. But when I was doing my rewatch, when Billy is taken by the Mind Flayer, there is a point where Billy ends up in the Upside Down and he is met with like his shadow self, which is just the Mind Flayer taking over his body. And it seemed like they both switched. And I think that whatever is left over from Billy that was left in the Upside Down, his essence essentially. Maybe the Mind Flayer took it over and Billy kind of dominated the Mind Flayer persona and became corrupted by the Upside Down and transformed into Vecna. It would make sense because of how much they are putting emphasis on Max and Billy in these trailers, and how the Duffers said that Max is going to play this pivotal role in this season. It would make a lot of sense. That one's probably not likely. And I mean, all honesty, all three of my guesses are probably not likely, but those are my theories on who Vecna is. But obviously, judging by the trailers, he is going to be this formidable force that they have never dealt with before. The Mind Flayer was one thing, but this guy is the next level, the big boss. At least that's how they are portraying it. And the other cool thing that I heard in this interview with the Duffers is the Duffer brothers said that their inspiration for the personality of Vecna was Freddy Krueger, Pennywise the clown from It, and Pinhead from Hellraiser. That's pretty freaking cool. and that gives me real high hopes. If that was their motivation for his personality and his persona, that's going to be a home run hit, because those are three very iconic horror villains from 80s culture that I think would fit perfectly in this universe. We need a villain with personality that's not just a monster or a presence. We need a body associated with that, and this would be the perfect opportunity to do so. The other thing that I thought was pretty cool was the Duffers talking about the creation of Vecna and how 90% of this creation is practical effects, and I think that's freaking awesome. I think they said the only thing that wasn't practical was the tentacles that are coming off, that those were CGI, and I really can't tell the difference. They did such a good job in that trailer. I can't wait to see more. And also, the guy that I got to do the special effects, I can't remember his name right now, it's escaping me, but the guy that got to do the special effects, he designed the Night King on Game of Thrones, and he did the makeup effects for HBO's Chernobyl miniseries, where it had all the radiation burn victims and stuff. It's so interesting to hear them say that, because Vecna's design looks like a cross between the Night King from Game of Thrones and a radiation burn victim from Chernobyl. It's so freaking cool, and I think that it's so fitting of a look for a villain that comes from this other dimension, from the Upside Down. So I'm really excited to see what happens. And really, that's all I got for this episode. And my goal for this episode was to just recap some highlights from season 3 and give a lot of theories on what could happen in season 4 with the information that we have at the moment. And really, that's all I got, guys. I'm really excited to see this show. I hope you guys are. And with that, we are going to bring this episode to a close. Thank you all so much for your continued support of the show and tuning in every week. Without y'all, this show is not possible, guys. Thank you all so much. I want to give a shout out to Zombie Hyperdrive and their song Red Eyes. That is the song that is used for my intro and my outro music. Those guys do good work. Go check out their stuff on Spotify and iTunes. I also want to give a shout out to Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. All the cool synth music and stuff that's used throughout each of my episodes, that's all done by him. He does strong work as well, so go check out his stuff on iTunes and Spotify. Next episode is going to be my review of part 1 of season 4, so don't forget to tune in next week. But until then, remember, I'm Joe Grizzly, bitch.